Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. I actually have a handout that maybe a couple people can help pass out. But while they're doing that, I actually have a couple questions. You know, we're a smaller group, and let's just be family tonight. I have two questions that I was hoping you could just talk with one or two people about as we're getting our handout here. So the first question, if you just want to turn to a neighbor and say, have you ever lost something? Show all three. Have you ever lost something of great value today? How did that make you feel? What did you do? Did you ever find it? So basically, have you ever lost something really valuable? How did that make you feel? Did you ever find it? So why don't you go ahead and turn to somebody, and if there's something specific that comes to mind. Okay. If you want to bring it around again, I have one more question I'm going to ask you. Maybe you could just write it on your paper or just a thought that comes to your mind. When you hear the phrase, seek the Lord, you know how we hear that, you know, if you've been around the Christian community, you know, you just need to seek the Lord. What comes to your mind? What's kind of the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that phrase, seek the Lord? So, yeah, you can write it down or just whatever thought. Do you think, maybe you think about, you know, praying or, you know, meditating, whatever it is. There's a lot of answers to that question, actually. So I just want you to think about it before we get started. So, but I'm going to just go ahead and pray and get started on this whole topic of seeking God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here together in your name. You see, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. We welcome your presence here tonight, God. We've already sensed you're here in a very special way. Thank you for these faithful men and women who are here on a Wednesday night and for those that are watching online. Lord, I pray that you would deepen our understanding of what it means to seek you, and God, that you would give us the grace and the strength to see this this desire just deepened in our lives, and that we would see it play out day after day. Because, Lord, we know that when we seek you, we will find you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And before I get started, you know, I just want to remind everybody also next Wednesday is going to be a very special night for the men in our church. It's our B-Men graduation. You don't want to miss it. It's amazing. So if you know of somebody, if you want to invite some of the men to the church so they can learn about what we offer here at Bethel, it's amazing. I really appreciate the men's ministry here. And I'm going to be completely frank with you. My objective for tonight, I hope that every one of you walks out of here so excited to go spend time with God, either tonight or tomorrow when you get up in the morning. That's my whole intent, is for you to just have a great, just a renewed sense of, I want to know this God. I want to seek this God who has sought after me. And I was actually supposed to do this message the week after prayer and fasting, because you know how it is. I love prayer and fasting. I don't really love fasting, but I love that when we all do it, because I can talk myself out of fasting in a heartbeat. Like, you know, so when I can fast for 5 days, God is alive and on the throne. And that's all I have to say about that. But you know how you can, like, well, you know, all right, once a year, we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek the Lord together. And it can be almost like a, you know, Christmas and Easter, but you know, for a Christian, Christmas is every day, Easter is every day. Seeking the Lord is an everyday occurrence that we can have. And so the idea of being intentional about it is important, but that was kind of the thought behind when I was supposed to do it then, because, but then it snowed, so here I am in March, although it did snow this week too, which is weird, but... So I'm going to start with just a few definitions, and I took these definitions from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. If you're not familiar with this tool, it's a great tool. Noah Webster was a Christian, and he put together a very in-depth dictionary. And he used a lot of definitions for his word. He used the Bible a lot. So it's really, it's edifying when you look up a word in this dictionary, and you can get it online. I think you can even get an app for it, of course, you know, now. But the word seek, so to go and search or quest of, to look for, to search by going from place to place, to inquire after, to ask for, to endeavor, to find or gain by any means, to make search or inquiry, to endeavor, to make discovery, to seek God, his name, or his face, in scripture, to ask for his favor, direction, and assistance. Psalm 63 noted there is a really great psalm about seeking the Lord. I encourage you to look it up. This is for you to take home to just be able to ponder over things. So in that definition, then I'm like, well, what does it mean to search? To look over or through for the purpose of finding something, to explore, to examine by inspection. Now remember, trying to remember in the thought of seeking God, to inquire, to seek for, to examine, to try, to search out, to seek till found, or to find by seeking. Inquire, what does that mean? To ask a question, to seek for truth or information by asking questions, to seek for truth by argument or the discussion of questions, or by investigation, which I think of, you know, the idea of being in a group, of being able to discuss things. Investigate, to search into and to inquire and examine with care and accuracy, to find out by careful disquisition, which is a formal or systematic inquiry into any subject by arguments or discussion of the facts and circumstances that may elucidate or explain truth. Endeavor, an effort, an attempt, an exertion of physical strength or the intellectual powers towards the attainment of an object. So thinking of these definitions, where you're thinking about, I want to seek God, I hear some things in these simple definitions from a dictionary. I hear that seeking requires intentionality. So put, when you're looking for something or someone that's important. And maybe going back to that, you know, when you were discussing, if you lost something, something that was really important to you, what would you do about it? Did any of you say, man, I felt sick when I lost that thing. I could lost sleep over it. I was so upset when I lost that thing. I had to go find, I was asking everybody, that kind of intentionality. Or say, maybe there's something you really want, but you don't have. We have the internet now, so we can Google, we can shop. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm watching television, I bring my phone because if there's a show or an actor or something, I just want to Google. I want to find out information, like give me information about this person or this thing. Maybe there's a sports team that you love. And you want to know everything about them. You want to know the stats from 1992. And some of you I know are like that in here. You know, like, you can tell me played when and who was on the team when and when they lost and when they won the championship because you care about it. You're intentional about it. Another thing that I think about when I think of the word seek, I think it, along with intentionality, I've got to be intentional about it. It involves effort. There was many of these definitions that talked about asking questions. What is that? Why? What does that mean? You know, in our norm, in many aspects of our lives, we study for years to become either fluent at a topic or to get a job that we really want. Years of honing our skills, of really knowing those things that that are important to us. How about this God that we know through his son, Jesus Christ? There's so much that we haven't even scratched the surface, but it involves intentionality and it involves effort. We seek after things that are important to us and things that are valuable to us. And Jesus told us in John 17, chapter 3, he said, eternal life is knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing God. It's not that our sins have been forgiven, which is amazing. It's not that we can actually, you know, be with him forever, but this eternal life that Jesus paid such a big price for was that we can actually know our Creator. We can actually have fellowship with him. It's amazing. We can know God. We can know his thoughts. We can know his character. The Bible says that the Spirit searches even the deep things of God and that we can know the mind of Christ. Can you imagine if you even knew the mind of the person sitting next to you? Like, we can kind of finish each other's sentences a little bit after 35 years, but he still doesn't fully know my mind, and I don't fully know his mind. Although when you hang around with people, you get to know them. But the Bible says we can know the mind of God? Amazing. That's who we can know. We can seek for things that are important, but we can seek for things that are lost. So, like I said, sometimes we lose things that are valuable to us, and sometimes we can seek for things that we didn't even know we could have. What are some things that we can have that can be lost to us? Number one, if we don't know the Lord, because of sin and because of the fall of the world, we can actually not have a connection with God, and that's something that we can actually regain. And because of being born again and having access to God, we can actually be reconciled to God. So if that's who you are tonight, if you can say that I've lost something, I don't have an intimate relationship with God, I'm here to say that can be solved for you tonight. You can come to know him tonight. But let's say you are saved. What are some things that a Christian can lose? Sometimes we can lose perspective. Sometimes we can lose intimacy with God. I remember, you know, I was thinking what Pastor Bruce said last week and Pastor Jim on Sunday, talking about priesthood, really setting up what I'm even talking about tonight. It's knowing our relationship with God that gives us this ability to even seek after him. Knowing our position as a priest, a high priest before him, that we can have this access. But as Pastor Jim said, access is a gift. Intimacy is a choice. And so sometimes we can lose that intimacy. We don't mean to. Sometimes sometimes life just gets in the way and you realize, man, I don't sense that intimacy like I used to with the Lord. We can lose our understanding of who we are in Christ. Sometimes the voices of who we're not from the evil one can start crying out the voice that God would want us to hear of who we are in Christ. And we can lose perspective on who God says we are. And that's why what we're doing here is so important to remind ourselves. So when we're saying about seeking after something that is lost, these are some things as Christians that we can be intentional about and put effort into and going after seeking him again. So what are some ways that we can do that to seek the Lord or to gain or regain these things? Well, I want to, the reason that I put this study together in the first place was probably 30 years ago, and I brought documentation from my University of Washington when I was in my 20s. I did an extensive word study on that, the word seek, everywhere that it was in the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Some of them were talking about seeking the Lord. Some were about, you know, seeking something else. But I took a concordance and I wrote down every scripture. And then I found like categories of things after I did all that, of just fascinating things to how that word is used in scripture. So if you go back to your handout now, I just want to show you some of the words that I studied. In the Old Testament, there's more words that translate into English seek, but two of the main ones, and I'm not even going to pretend like I could ever say that, but that first one with that Hebrew writing, and then however you say that. Here's how it's translated seek in English, but here's, again, some kind of fleshing out of what that word would mean in the Hebrew. To search, to look for, to try to learn information about an object, implying a diligence in the procurement of that information. to inquire about, to make a verbal request, to seek the face, i.e. be in relation to another as a figurative extension of seeking to be in the presence of that person. Talking about seeking the Lord, seeking his face, being in his presence. One of the scriptures, and again, there's many, many scriptures that use this Hebrew word, but one of them that you've probably very familiar with is in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, God saying, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And then the next page, if you flip the page, there's another Hebrew word. And I've found that this one, again, is translated seek in English. But again, inquire, consult, find out, learn information not previously known. How many of you believe in here there's something about God you don't know yet? There, you know him, but there is something about his character, about who he is, about his mind. You don't know. I couldn't even put a pin minuscule compared to what I could know. But then God says I can know if I would just seek him. To look for, to try to find out information about a person or event. And I like this, the one in number five. Have a relationship, formally seek. Join in a relationship as an extension of seeking the presence of a person so as to relate to them in some way. To be sought, i.e. to think and process information with a focus, to think seriously and long about its meaning or ramifications. So again, I hope that as you read these and you go back over them, it'll encourage you to think, when I say seek the Lord, there's so many beautiful facets that I can put my mind around to really tangibly apply that to my relationship with God. And then in the New Testament, the Greek word, again, is there. Bruce could say that, but... and I forgot the verse that goes with that last Hebrew word, one of many. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And then in the New Testament, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it's searching, like a searching for what is lost, a quest for God and what can only be attained from him, of what God requires or expects from man, as making inquiry or investigation, examine, question, deliberate, of man's efforts to obtain something, of man's desire towards something. So there's someone or something that I want. I want to know God. I want to know what he's like. I want to know what he wants of me. I want to know what pleases him. I want to know what displeases him. How can I know that? I can know by the Spirit, and I can know by his word, and I can know by careful, careful study and spending time in his presence and letting him teach me, because he wants to do those things. And so some of the categories that you can see, I didn't put there's many, many things that I could have written in there, but I'm going to just tell you a few as we go. I'm going to save the first one for the very last, who or what to seek, because I'm going to flesh that one out a little bit more. But then I saw categories of when to seek God. It said night by night, day by day, continually, while he was still a youth, was one of the verses. When God said, seek my face. But you get the idea of pretty much all the time we can seek him. Where to seek God? One of the verses was in a dry and weary land, in his house, in his temple, where the Lord God chooses, when we're gathered together. Those are when different places that we can seek God. How to seek God? With all of your heart and all of your soul, continually, earnestly, diligently, directing your mind to know, investigating and seeking, with weeping/repentance, waiting for him, with prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth and ashes, So in other words, so many different ways you can seek him, depending on where your soul is. If you're broken, you can come to him and you know, maybe you're very aware of a sin. You come with repentance to seek the Lord, to seek again, to see his favor shine upon you, because that's how he wants that all the time. When you just want to know him a little deeper and you want to have a greater understanding of who he is and who he's made you to be and all the things he wants you to do, you can seek him. There's so many ways with prayer and supplications. The benefits of seeking God. Whoo! This one is long. Let me tell you, this is a long, long list. It says, you'll find him. Your heart will be glad. You'll possess the good land. God will hear from heaven and forgive their sins because of repentance and heal their land. He will let you find him. As God was with Jehoshaphat, he gave them honor and gave great riches and honor. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. God healed the people. They prospered. They had joy. God was favorably disposed to them. He would restore their righteous estate. He would not forsake them. They'd be glad. They wouldn't want for any good thing. Benefits of seeking God. They'll understand all things. The Lord is good to them. Seek the Lord that you might live. It's just promise after promise after promise of what will happen when you seek the Lord. It was definitely the longest one, which doesn't that just reflect the heart of God? I have good things for you. If you seek me, let me tell you, you'll find me. You'll find good things. You'll find out the good things that I have for you. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then there is that one, where it happens when you don't seek God. I'm not even going to talk about them. They're not good. So the encouragement is they're like, seek the Lord, just saying. But they have that in there too. It's not, he doesn't pass over that. So I want to go back to the very first one where I said who or what to seek. And there was a long list, again, I've got so many papers up here, of who or what we seek. We seek the Lord our God. We seek his strength. We seek his face. We seek after all the commandments. We seek the Lord God. We seek to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. We seek to behold the beauty of the Lord. We seek his name. We seek his precepts. We seek his statutes. We seek wisdom and an explanation. We seek the word of the Lord. We seek righteousness, humility, the favor of the Lord. We seek his kingdom. We seek the living one. We seek the glory from the one and only God. We seek glory and honor and immortality. We seek after the interests of Jesus Christ. We seek after peace. We seek after instruction from the priest's mouth because he's the messenger of the Lord. And as this is all rapid fire, but I want to I'm just trying to paint this big picture. But with all of those things, to me, it kind of really boiled down to when we seek the Lord our God, it boiled down to three things. And the first thing is God's character. That can be his strength, his face, his beauty, his name, his righteousness, his humility, his peace. What is he like? What is something that you wish you knew more about God, about his character? Because he will never let us down. Sometimes we live in a world where people let us down, but when we seek him and we seek his face and we seek his character, and then we know that he is for us, what that does for our heart, just to meditate on him. Psalm 27, verses 4 and then 8, it says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You have said, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. I have a book recommendation. Mine's a pretty beat up copy because it's like my favorite book, but it's by A.W. Tozer. It's not a very long read, but it's called The Knowledge of the Holy. And it talks all about the attributes of God. And I remember getting this years ago as a believer and reading all about who he is and taking the time to just lay on, I remember laying on my bed and thinking about the eternity of God, thinking hard, thinking long, that he's forever and ever. And we live in a world where everything's bullet, everything's like, give me the next fact. But I'm telling you, with God, you gotta take time and just think and meditate and let his word just get in you. Thinking about the fact that the Bible says that, it doesn't say that God won't lie. It says he cannot lie. Thinking about that long and hard. Because won't means that he has to kind of quickly make a decision. Can't means that he cannot. He cannot lie. It doesn't say he won't be unfaithful. I mean, he won't, how am I saying that? He won't be unfaithful. He can't be unfaithful. You have to take that and go home and think about it. He doesn't have to make a decision, you know, should I or should I not? Okay, I won't. No, he can't. He can't be unfaithful because of who he is, because of his nature. So when that gets deep, deep inside of you, that he can't. And the next time the devil tries to tell you, is he gonna let me down? Oh, no, no. He can't be unfaithful. But that comes from deep thought and deep thinking and deciding you're not going to stop until it gets in here. Revelation that he freely wants to give to you. But those things, again, his eternity, his beauty, it says to look at the beauty of his holiness. That God is beautiful because he has no stain, no blemish. So when you're sitting and you're thinking about him on his throne, seated, beautiful, holy, so passionately in love with you, and letting that just sink into your spirit so that you just, that it just changes you from the inside out. The next thing that I see that we are to seek after is his word, and it's his precepts, his statutes, wisdom, instructions. And what beautiful example to me is out of 2 Chronicles, and it's King Josiah. Remember, he became he was a young king. And if you want to go to verse 3, it says 2 Chronicles 34:3. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places of Asherim and the carved and metal images. And if you go down later into the they actually find the book of the law. But you see, as soon as he started seeking, there was something off. There's something going on here that's not right. And he started making amends for it. And then they found the book of the law, and that's later in verse 14. And Hilkiah the priest brought it. And then when Josiah saw it, he ripped his clothes because he realized from reading the word, they were not obeying. And he was rent in his heart. He was repentant. And then, but then because of that, if you go down to verse 27, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and his inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. So my point there being is when we seek after God in his word, then all of a sudden we realize, this is good? No, this has got to go. And it's just like your plumb line. It reminds you of what God loves and what God hates, and it gives you that courage and that strength. When he found out, he did something about it, and that was beautiful. And then the last one, the third thing that we are to seek is his kingdom, his glory, his honor, his righteousness, his peace, his joy. Because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so when I see, when you're seeking the Lord and his character, and you're seeking the Lord and his word, and you're seeking the Lord for his kingdom, you want, when you get to know the king, and when you get to know his precepts through his word, you'll want to see them in your life. You'll want to see them in your home. You'll want to see them in your workplace, your community. Seeking will bring action. And you'll say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you'll have tangible things that you'll be believing for. Not just an ethereal like kingdom, but like, no, righteousness here, peace here, joy here. Right living, right thinking. There's something tangible you'll be able to point to. And so just in case, the last thing I want to say is, what is God's posture when we're seeking him? How does he feel towards us? You know how you can be like, you know, if you really, like, let's just say you want to go after a celebrity or whatever, and they be like, you know, like, they just want to get away. But what's God's posture? When you say, you know what, I want to live like that. I want to seek him in a deeper way. Number one is, he wants to be found. 1 Chronicles 28:9, last part of it says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. But the idea of, if you seek him, he will be found by you. He wants to be found by you. Number two, he's not far from us. He's so close. Acts 17, verse 27, where it says that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. He's not way off so that you just have to try really hard. He's close. And the Bible says he's close. He's when you seek him, you will find him. His posture towards you is also, he longs to be gracious to you. Isaiah 30, verse 18 and 19. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord God is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he will answer you. Wow, does he care when your heart's broken? As soon as he hears your cry. Maybe you just have been in a place where you just have felt just incredible condemnation, and you cry out to him. He's not mad. He's gracious. He's waiting, and he longs to be merciful to you and to lift that heavy burden off you. No human is meant to live with that weight of guilt and shame. It's too heavy. He came to set us free from that. He came to lift it off of us. And all he's asking us to do is just come to him. Ask him. He wants to be there for you. And then the last reminder of God's posture towards us is that he loves to give gifts to his children. And I love this one because it's in the context of seeking God. Matthew 7. It says, for anybody who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Which of you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So what about if you ask for God himself? God, show me yourself. Wow, would he love to give you a greater revelation of who he is and let you know his amazing love, his amazing power, his amazing perspective on whatever it is that you're going through. My last thought for us is that a lot of this has been talking about our own personal quiet time. And remember, I was hoping you'd leave wanting to go spend time with God. I still hope that. But we seek together in community also. Both are important. It's not either or. I need to have my time alone with God when I can pour out my heart like this and ask him what he's like and think about him deep, but I need you too. I was thinking tonight when the worship was just so beautiful, we just have amazing times with God here on Wednesday night. It's like, I don't want it to be our secret, but like, it's like amazing. And online, I hope you're sensing it too. But, you know, Hebrews tells us that we shouldn't forsake the assembly of the saints. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, when you come together, each has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. And then I'm going to wait for the Lord in Psalm 52:9 in the presence of the godly. So there's something like if I had decided, you know, I'll just seek the Lord at home, I could have. But there was something so beautiful tonight with the worship team and all of us singing together that it was a different experience than what if I had been at home. I just wouldn't have sounded so good all by myself, you know, right? You guys just made it all sound. And the presence of God just came. So whether we're seeking him, you know, in our quiet time with him or seeking him like this, the main thing to take away is he wants to be found by you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be so involved with every detail of your life. And yes, you can. If you have been reconnected by the Spirit of God, you can know him. You can know him in a deeper way. I still get so amazed. I mean, I've read the same Bible for 35 years. I still love it. I still learn new things all the time, or a little like different, you know, like a something hits on a diamond and it's just like different facets of light. It's like, whoa, I never thought of that before. We can have that until the day we go to be with him, and then we shall know him fully even as we are fully known. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? But we have an amazing journey to be on for the rest of our lives, seeking him and finding him, because he's not far from any one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us that you're near, that you care, that you have so much you want to tell us, and all you're asking us to do is seek you. So I just pray that you would open up the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we would know you, that we would come to know you in a deeper way. You'd show us as your unique creations how we can know you. And I pray that every person listening right now would sense you drawing them to yourself, that you want to reveal yourself to them. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless every person here, every family, every situation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.